Blog Talk Radio.
Relevant to us, and instead play an extended interview of George Christopher commenting on public service. And here goes. You've built other projects in the city, like the housing authority projects that you built. I live in the area, and it took them longer to tear it down under Agnos and Jordan than to build the new schlock. These houses made of ticky-tacky. What would you, and you know, the Housing Authority since your administration was the last good one. The books were balanced. We didn't have the problems that we've had since then. What would you recommend can be done to clean that mess up?
Well, you have to bear in mind that in government, there are two fundamental principles. First of all, the investing community has to have confidence in the mayor. You can have billionaires galore all over the city, and if they don't have confidence in the mayor, they're not going to participate. That's why I was able to get the Blythe-Zillabak committee to come in. Going to the redevelopment agency, you may remember that Elmer Robinson, who is a very astute fellow himself, but still he had his ideas in a different way than I did, and he was trying to find a good sound administrator for the redevelopment agency, and then I forget their names.
There have been a lot of them.
Yeah, but there was great criticism just before I got into office by Justin Herman in the press. Well, he was lambasting the administration terribly. And Justin Herman at that time was with the federal government. So I called him as soon as I was there. I said, Justin, I said, I'd like to talk to you. Come on over. So he did. I said, tell me what's wrong. Well, he says, you don't get the right people in there to run it. You get one fellow and he fails, and 6 months or a year later somebody else has to come be brought in not my administration, prior administrations. So this became quite a joke. I said to him, you know, there's only one way to solve this matter. He says, what's that? I said, I don't want you to fall out of your chair. Here's what I think is going to be my suggestion to you. You quit your job with the federal government and work for the city and county of San Francisco. Oh, my gosh. He just put his hands up. And he was shocked that I could even that I had the temerity to even make the suggestion. I said, no, don't argue with me. I said, I made up my mind. I want you to come here. Tell me how much it's going to cost the city. That's all I'm asking. And he said, so I have to talk to him for a half an hour. And I used all the salesmanship I could command at that time. So I said, don't make up your mind right now. I said, go home and talk to your wife about it. I'm going to call you tomorrow. I want you to come back. Oh, he says, I can't do it, but I'll talk to my wife. But when he said, I'll talk to my wife about it, I knew that there was some little possibility. And the next day, he came back again. He said, how much did you save? Well, I gave him $3,000 a year more than he was making at the federal government. That's all I gave him. That wasn't big money.
You talk about, there was a little anecdote you told me a while back about Khrushchev and his wife. Could you relate it again?
Well, I don't know what happened here. We thought we had George Christopher, and I don't know what's going on here. and let's see what happens. We'll play this interview again.
You've built other projects in the city, like the Housing Authority projects that you built. I live in the area, and it took them longer to tear it down under Agnos and Jordan than to build the new schlock. These houses made of ticky-tacky.
Well,
what would you, and you know, the Housing Authority, since your administration, was the last good one. The books were balanced. We didn't have the problems that we've had since then. What would you recommend can be done to clean that mess up?
Well, you have to bear in mind that in government, there are two fundamental principles. First of all, the investing community has to have confidence in the mayor. You can have billionaires galore all over the city, and if they don't have confidence in the mayor, they're not going to participate. That's why I was able to get the Blasio-Zillabak committee to come in. Going to the redevelopment agency, you may remember that Elmer Robinson, who is a very astute fellow himself, but still he had his ideas in a different way than I did, and he was trying to find a good, sound administrator for the redevelopment agency. And then Jim. Well, it's so long ago, I forget their names.
There've been a lot of them.
Yeah, but there was great criticism just before I got into office by Justin Herman in the press. Well, he was lambasting the administration terribly. And Justin Herman at that time was with the federal government. So I called him as soon as I was there. I said, Justin, I said, I'd like to talk to you. Come on over. So he did. I said, tell me what's wrong. Well, he says, you don't get the right people in there to run it. You get one fellow and he fails, and 6 months or a year later, somebody else has to come be brought in. Not my administration, prior administrations. So this became quite a joke. I said to him, you know, there's only one way to solve this matter. He says, what's that? I said, I don't want you to fall out of your chair. He says, here's what I think is going to be my suggestion to you. You quit your job with the federal government and work for the city and county of San Francisco. Oh, my gosh. He just put his hands up. And he was shocked that I could even that I had the temerity to even make the suggestion. I said, no, don't argue with me. I said, I've made up my mind. I want you to come here. Tell me how much it's going to cost the city. That's all I'm asking. And he says, so I've talked to him for a half an hour. And I used all the salesmanship I could command at that time. So I says, don't make up your mind right now. I says, go home and talk to your wife about it. And I'm going to call you tomorrow. I want you to come back. Oh, he says, I can't do it, but I'll talk to my wife about it. Well, when he said, I'll talk to my wife about it, I knew that there were some little possibilities. And the next day, he came back again. He says, how much did you save? Well, I gave him $3,000 a year more than he was making at the federal government. That's all I gave him. That wasn't big money.
You talk about, there was a little anecdote you told me a while back about Khrushchev and his wife. Could you relate it again?
Well, we've had this problem again. I don't know what happened to this. So what we're going to do is end the episode. And now we'll be back Friday, and we'll hope to have this corrected. There was a disconnect. So we'll end right now. I'm sorry this happened, especially on George Christopher's birthday. This is not a good sign.
Finished. Now, I am here to tell you this, that power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon, and the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you.
Well, that,
never will be.
That wasn't intended for George Christopher, but it's very accurate because he was a strong mayor. But we're going to end with politics and poker because something else happened with the interview, and I can't. I'll have to go back in the archives.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet.
Where's the call on top?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average
happened, but anyway, we're going to we will be putting up the updated news on the this ridiculous nudity in the public streets and in the City Hall chambers of San Francisco, when already these stupid people have filed a case in the U.S. District Court Ninth Circuit. And I can't believe they put this on docket, because there is a California law under the Penal Code 314 about public indecency. Also, the fact that apparently some of these people, a lot of the craziness in San Francisco originates in people who have come here from other places like Wisconsin, New York, Massachusetts, a few from Illinois, some from Canada, a lot from South America, a few from Europe. And they bring these crazy ideas and these activities that they couldn't do where they came from, but wouldn't get away with. So they come out here figuring they can get away with it, and they do. The attitude of the unofficial model of San Francisco is anything goes, and that was spoken by former police chief and mayor Frank Jordan. That San Francisco is a city where anything goes, and has and will continue unless people say enough, because it's costing. A lot of money to the taxpayers, who get little or nothing in return for all the money they're being taxed for and the programs. That's one thing we're going to be bringing up, and we'll be putting up the origin of this nudity in public places in North America. It started with the Dukha Boers, who were a sect, a radical sect that came from Russia into Western Canada, Saskatchewan, Alberta. And what these people would do, and you can see it on our website, that when they didn't like a political issue or they objected, they would strip off their clothes and march in public. And, of course, a lot of them were not bodies you'd want to look at. And so the local Canadian officials would say, okay, put your clothes back on. What do you want? And they give them what they want. Well, here in San Francisco, these people have apparently, who are the nudists, are behaving like the Dukha Boers up in Canada. I don't know if they still do this up there, but it used to be a big joke in eastern Canada how crazy these people were. Now, another thing that came up, this Joe Van Belcher, a black football player for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, this very tragic incident where he killed his wife. Apparently, there's more to it, but the question is, there's two questions that come up. First of all, black athletes who go into college ball, football and basketball, and also in pro. Now, a lot of these guys are not academic shining stars, or incandescent intellects. So they're hired and they're paid well for their muscle and their stamina and their brawn, not for what's between their ears. Unfortunately, the autopsy on Jovan Belcher in this horrible case won't be available for another month. But there have been whisperings, allegations that he was brain damaged. He suffered from use of prescription drugs and maybe painkillers or maybe illegal drugs. But to have people like Bob Costas making political statements without knowing the facts, and of course he's a sportscaster, he's not an incandescent intellect when it comes to political statements and political issues. If he wants to do that, he should ask NBC to change his occupation. But anyway, he made these stupid statements, and it's the same thing that happened with the Trayvon Martin case, where Trayvon Martin's political propagandists claimed that Zimmerman attacked Trayvon Martin because he was black, and Zimmerman wasn't injured. Now the photos come out showing that his nose was either broken or badly injured, and you can see it all over Zimmerman's face. But this is typical of these people who run their mouths without having the facts, and they'll continue to go on as long as people accept that. So, and also on December 5th, this is interesting, the American Bicycle College was founded in New York. I cannot find what have become the new Latte Leisure class. They have a lot of untapped revenue. There's a lot of untapped revenue there, disposable income, where these people, well, a lot of ones we see, drive expensive bicycles, and they only pay tax on the bicycle, or they lease them. They have a lot of money for lattes, for expensive wines, dinners, meals, vacations, and those who are into recreational drugs like cocaine, which is expensive. I know a few of these people. This is where this money goes, because they don't pay taxes, they don't pay license fees like car drivers, people who have automobiles and trucks. They don't pay for any insurance, because they have no insurance when they injure somebody, no liability insurance. So the cities that are complaining about a lack of money coming in revenue. Here is an untapped revenue source. It's time to tax this latte leisure class and make them pay maybe $50 a year for a license plate, require them to have safety devices like lights and bells and horns on their bicycles, and to obey the rules of the roads, as well as obtain liability insurance if they injured someone. Now, we also have this scandal with the another scandal with the San Francisco Housing Authority. We haven't gotten over the Jim Jones episode, and this Jim Jones was appointed by George Moscone, who had his own moral problems and political corruption problems. He was known in the police department and among law enforcement and police cognoscenti as Turkey Legs because he liked black women. He was married, he's supposed to be a Roman Catholic, but there are a lot of scandals with Moscone that are going to come out. He appointed Jim Jones to run the Housing Authority in San Francisco, and this was two mayors after George Christopher. And what Jim Jones did, according to my sources, and of course I was living here at the time, that you could get anything you wanted, drugs, children, pornography, fence goods, and Jones really ran the place into the ground. And, of course, there was a lot of vote fraud with Jim Jones and his operation. Now we have a similar situation with a black guy named Henry Alvarez, who's immersed in the latest scandal at the Housing Authority. San Francisco Housing Authority, according to HUD officials that I met in Washington in 1993, when I was waiting for the meeting, I was talking to some of the people in HUD, and they said, we get more complaints about San Francisco than any other place in the United States. It shows you how corrupt this city is when it comes to housing and subsidized housing and the so-called nonprofits and the use of community development money. And, of course, Saul Alinsky was here. So we'll get into more of this with videos about some of these things, as well as documentation, which the FBI asked me for, and reluctantly I made a flow chart. Ordinarily, media people shouldn't get involved with law enforcement unless as national security or an international case or national case public interest that's involved. So it's very touchy. Anyway, we will be back Friday, and we hope to have the full George Christopher interview. And we're going to have December as George Christopher month because we are poorly served with some of our public officials here in California. So it's Peter Paul. We're going to sign off for now because there was a connection problem and it still hasn't worked out. So we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Good night.